Hi guys, I'm a day late. I'm very sorry about that. I arrived from DreamHack Austin yesterday, so I decided I could have recorded it last night and had it up today, but I recorded it today kind of in the afternoon, so it'll be an extra day late. And that's just because, or wait, it'll only be, oh yeah, it's Tuesday, so yeah, it'll be an extra day late. I'm sorry. The next one will be on time, but yesterday I got back and my room is a mess. You know, it's like shit all over the floor, and I like had nothing to eat, and I was like, I kind of want to clean before I make this video. But then I was like, that, because that would make me feel better. But then I was thinking, I could clean, but then I also kind of want to eat, and I'm down to cook, but I don't even have ingredients because I have nothing in my fridge right now. And I was like, you know what, let me take the day off, reorganize, right, just recover from my flight, recover from my trip, take a walk to Whole Foods, actually take a run to Whole Foods so I could get a run in as well. And then find a simple recipe, make some food, walk back, clean my room, cook some dinner, sit down, and that's it. Just mental reset for the day. So that's what I decided to do last night. I don't regret it, even though I feel uncomfortable with the fact that I'm not sticking to the schedule for the first time in a while. But I think I needed to do that, so I'm okay with this decision. I made this executive decision. I'm okay with it. But yeah, just got back from DreamHack Austin. I don't remember if I, so I did go last year, I think, but it was different. 3 years in a row now, I guess. 3-4 years? I don't even remember, man. My memory is so bad. I remember when I started playing CSGO and I, like, watched the majors. And it was like the first playoff bracket of the first major. And I was like, man, this is going to stick in my mind. I'm going to remember how, like, the placings of every single team at every single major, and I'm going to remember the playoff bracket and who qualified and who didn't. And it's, the years have rolled on to the point where I actually have to go back and do a refresher course, and I plan to do that soon, because it's kind of crazy how, like, even the thing that I spent all my time thinking about, like, I still can't, like, commit everything to memory. That's what Thorin's really good at, by the way. But yeah, we're going to start it off today with a Q&A. I got some questions from Twitter, and I want to kind of do this every time where I'll kind of post the day before. I'll be like, hey, if you got any questions, reply to this tweet. You can DM me if you want to stay anonymous, and I can answer those questions. I think it's a good warm-up for the vlog where I can just talk about questions, and it's probably stuff that is most pertinent to how people are feeling recently about either Counter-Strike or just esports and stuff, and connect a little bit. So I like this. The first question will be from Skip98, SK1P98. What advice would you give to new people trying casting? Oh, you know what? And before, I'm just going to go over what we're going to talk about today. So we got DreamHack Austin, obviously, because I was there this weekend. Update on my green card situation, because Arush actually got back to some mail. And then content ideas, and we'll get into that right now. And then just like the health and wellness portion to end it off, I guess, where I talk about some of the habits and things that I've continued to do or not done or whatever. Okay, so Skip98, SK1P98. What advice would you give to new people trying casting? When I try, I feel really awkward and struggle to get the words to cast well. Well, Skip, this is very normal. This is something that is an ongoing battle, I think, for a lot of people. I think there's very select few casters who at this point have casted so much it really is second nature, that they just nail it every single line for the most part. They have their own kind of set vocabulary that they use, and it's wide enough that it never gets dull. And I think that's really cool, and that's kind of what we're all aiming for in a sense. Like, even Henry G, who I think when he started out, he was very rough, and I feel like I relate to him a lot, where he just feels like he's like the most improved caster, where he's just gotten so fucking good. And like, there was a thread on Reddit about how he like lost his luggage and stuff like that. And then in the thread, like the top comment was like, or the top comment chain were all of the things that, like, the Henryisms, right? What a blunder, and everything that he says during casts and stuff like that. And I was like, that's awesome. You know, I think we all kind of want that in some sense. I think that's really cool. So, to get to when you feel really awkward and you struggle to get the words to cast well, there is a lot of stuff you can do here. I think, I don't know if the road is different for everybody, so I'll preface by saying that. I think for me, the number one most important thing that kind of is at the tip of the umbrella that covers all the other important things that you need to worry about as a caster, for me, comes with rhythm. So if I feel like when I first started casting and stuff, I felt really awkward and it constantly felt like it was a battle to get to the words that I wanted to. But when I found a rhythm, it helped me unlock my vocabulary a lot, you know, because I felt like I read a lot of books. I took a break from reading books, but I've asked other casters. Some of them don't even read. And I read a lot when I was younger. I think I had the vocabulary in there somewhere, but unlocking it was the really hard part. And then I found, when I found my rhythm, when I was able to get in that kind of zone where words were flowing out, and, you know, it's almost like rapping or something like that, where I think when you add the cadence, the rhythm, the words, they come in a weird way. And also, it's also about how words sound, right? Delivery is very important, because you can put out an awesome sentence, but if you don't say it correctly, if you don't end it with oomph, it's not going to stick in anyone's mind. It's not going to make you feel good about saying it, if that makes sense. And I think the awkwardness comes from a little bit of a lack of confidence, not necessarily maybe confidence in yourself, but just confidence because this is something you're not very good at yet. And the struggle to get the words to cast well might not be there because you might not have your rhythm. What's your speed? What's your tempo? Like, what's your flow, right? And finding out how to do that and making it more of a song than a speech, I guess, is the best way I could describe it, is what you should be looking for. And that's definitely how I've taken my casting to the next level. And I think for me to go to the next level, I'm trying to bring my casting into my real life. So I think there's a lot of people, and some people are different. Like James, for example, always sounds like he's casting in his day-to-day life. He's always speaking with a big voice and is kind of the same personality-wise and everything. DDK, you know, is much more soft-spoken in real life and kind of just changes it for the cast. And I relate more to that, where I'm more chill, I think, when I'm not doing content or casting. But I always thought that casting wasn't supposed to be hard. What I had wrong was the thought that being like your most chill self was fine for casting or something. I think in reality, you're supposed to have a few certain things that are special to casting that you also carry with you in your day-to-day life, and then you amplify them. And that takes some effort, but I feel like once you work those muscles, make those muscles appear in your brain, then they stick a little bit and it becomes easier to do. Like if I say my standard, like my minimum level of energy or something is 10% higher than it normally was before I decided to become a caster, cast a lot, then I think it'll become much easier to achieve like higher levels of energy when casting, when amplifying. So not trying to be a caster all the time, but I think some of the stuff that you do in your day-to-day life can help you as well with casting, if that makes sense. To always kind of think about it, that practicing that flow and rhythm will make it easier when you get on the mic. But there's all kinds of examples in entertainment of people, like I don't even know his name. He plays Job in Arrested Development. I really want to find his name quickly here. Will Arnett, that's it. Will Arnett. I think he's famous for being very boring in person, actually. And he's so funny in Arrested Development. And I think there are a lot of examples of that. So I guess you can do it either way. I definitely think, though, it helps, you know, if like you're a comedian, to always be kind of being funny or trying to be funny or making jokes. I feel like that's practice and it makes it easier to turn that switch on when you get on stage. But to each his own, that's just my personal advice. So cast a lot, bring the energy up a little bit, just in general, and that'll help also unlock a rhythm, and then the rhythm might unlock the words. But if you don't have the vocabulary at all, maybe reading more could help. A big thing about whether a cast sounds good or not is, are you repeating the same words? So if you describe a situation the same way three rounds in a row, people are going to be like, why am I listening to this guy talk? Like I can say that same thing in those words. You know, I want to hear a different way of describing things. I want to hear some new adjectives, you know, some flowery language. Right. And I think that's kind of what you do as a caster. to grace people with something nice to hear, is to come up with new ways to describe things that anybody else could describe already, on top of coming up with great insight and stuff. But definitely delivery, I'm going to go out and say it, is more important than what you say, for sure. Especially in a live situation. You know, and now having strong analysis is really important, knowing what you're talking about. If you don't know what you're talking about, you'll piss so many people off, so you can't kind of have it one way or the other. But certainly, as long as you know what you're talking about, not necessarily explaining everything or describing it as perfectly as possible is as important as when you pick one thing to say, saying it beautifully, I guess. It's the best way to put it. So I hope that answers your question, Noctura CS. And thank you for the question, by the way. Noctura CS asks, what are the pros/cons between working for companies like DreamHack and freelance work? Contracts, pay, time off, work-life balance, etc. This is a really good question, and another question which I'm going to use to talk about something that would just be a good conversation, I think, for the vlog. I'm sorry about the car wash thing outside, if you guys can even hear that. But what are the pros and cons between working for companies like DreamHack and freelance work, contracts? So DreamHack is freelance work. Or if you're saying that that is like freelance work, okay. So if you were to work for, like, everything I do is freelance work, right? If I make a YouTube video, like we're doing a video series for ECS, I'm going to start putting commercial videos on this channel, by the way, that are just going to be like little shorts that link to the videos that we do. Because I think people think that we don't do a lot of videos anymore, or Nathan's not doing those videos, but we're basically always doing a video. It's just either not come out, or we haven't been able to announce where it's going to be, or the company never releases it or something, you know, like, but we have, like, we're going to do a lot more videos, I think, for ECS from now into, we're going to have a video played at the ECS finals that's getting done right now. Made a video last week, but you don't have seen those, so I'm going to put a little thing up. But everything I do is freelance right now. So if I go cast for DreamHack, that's freelance. If I make white label content, which means work for other people, that's freelance. That I'm doing, like, these videos for ECS. We get a rate. It's on the contract. It's usually like within a certain amount of time, this is this amount of content. Here's the specifications for the content, and then go ahead and do it. I actually really like that. So let's compare a couple things here. So freelance video content creation to full-time video content creation, like I had at Yahoo, which was my only full-time esports job. I at Yahoo had the freedom to go and do whatever videos I want. I had the freedom to make any kind of content that took any amount of time. I was given those parameters. Unfortunately, Yahoo Esports didn't last long enough that I could go to do more of the ambitious projects, like maybe short form documentaries or projects that wouldn't come out once a week. And I was more on the try to get a video done every day, or one big or two big videos in a week, or some kind of schedule like that. I was able to choose, however. I think that there's a lot of things to talk about here. So if I'm to get a contract to do, you know, 10 videos over the course of a couple months, and I can do them on whatever I want, that's great. It actually feels a lot like my full-time experience when I was making videos. I think I had a particularly great experience at Yahoo, where it didn't feel like I had a boss, and I was given so much freedom to do what I wanted to. So in that sense, it almost felt like freelance work, and I think that that would be the most, that would be the greatest thing, I think, about freelance work. I think the drawback is, actually, so I would say I actually appreciated making content at Yahoo more than I do freelance work from home. And I would say, apart from the fact that my freelance work can go on my YouTube channel, but a lot of the stuff I'm doing right now is white label, because white label pays more, a lot more than YouTube does. And that's the only way we can justify the amount of work and effort it takes to make the videos that we make. So in full-time, we had our own channel. There was a YouTube channel that had League of Legends content, CSGO content, etc. I personally wish that we had our own CSGO channel that I could have built up. So that's one thing about full-time. You know, I didn't make all the rules, and I really did want that. But on the flip side, I could make whatever content I wanted to at any pace I wanted to. I also had a lot of resources. You know, we had an amazing studio that I could book. We could book with people to come in. I didn't even have to do that myself sometimes. And we would just schedule interviews and then set up and have lighting and have people and good cameras and fucking shot an interview on a boat, on James Bardolph's boat when I interviewed James and DDK. And then, you know, did these amazing interviews with, we did one with James in the studio, Zach, Immortal Scotia in the studio, a few other people. That was awesome. We had a other three, that wasn't even a studio that we did those in. We had the White Psych Room, we had and another two, and they all had their own looks to them and different sets of lights and stuff like that. So in terms of the professional level of quality that I could get out of that, whereas like here I have the C922, which is a great webcam by Logitech. Not sponsored, but love this webcam. Highly recommend it if you're looking for one. But I don't have all that, I don't know, all that stuff, you know? Even my mic, just the AT2020, I could have used a better mic. Had a better little like recording studio at Yahoo as well. So the resources is really nice. Getting paid, this was actually another thing. So I'm a little bit all over the place. I really apologize for that. But so for the YouTube channel, like those are the kind of pluses and minuses both ways. On the freelance side, videos go on my channel. Don't make as much money on them if they go on my channel, but I have the ability to. And in the full-time side, normally I think you wouldn't get as much freedom to work to do whatever you want to, I would assume. But I did have that, so I didn't really get to experience that as a negative. And that was really nice about my full-time experience. And then I guess pay structure. So with full-time work, you get mad benefits. You get mad benefits, you know, healthcare covered, dental, fucking boba trucks would come into work sometimes. And I could just go get some boba before work. There's a cafeteria that we could go to and like as many times a day as we wanted to get food if we were hungry. They had a gym on site, and this place was like 10 minutes from my apartment right now. That made it really nice. Accessibility is crazy. Another thing is, this is a big thing actually, going into work is really nice. If you're going to work, freelance is not easy. You have to motivate yourself. You have to sit in your room and you have to get stuff done on your own schedule, but you got to wake up, you got to sit in the place that you're used to going on Twitter and Reddit and watching videos, and then take the focus off of that and put it into a Word document, start writing stuff, figure out how to research things, you know, and the goals, it's weird. Like it's hard to tell what your goals are sometimes. With freelance, because you can kind of do whatever you want. There's almost too much freedom. You know, there's a lot of philosophers that have talked about this. I mean, just the ability to have too much freedom. And at Yahoo, you could just go into work. You know, you have to be there. So you'd get used to that grind. And then you'd start your days earlier. You know, like I wake up not too late, but much later than I would if I worked at Yahoo. And because I'm away from my computer, I can kind of separate my work from my personal life. And I know that when I'm there, I sit down, get stuff done, come back, do whatever I want. That's nice. You know, that's nice. But one of the main reasons I wanted my one bedroom apartment as opposed to a studio, which I'm totally okay with a studio living alone, is because I don't want to, like, when I go to bed, I want to be able to go to another room and go to bed. I think it's something weird about being a person that's just separating these things physically is actually good for you, I feel like. So, yeah, I think you get a better balance if you're employed. But yeah, on the other side, you have your personal brand that you can work on. You can work on all of your own projects on the side. The main reason that you can't escape with any full-time job is they're going to take up a certain amount of your time. So I wouldn't be able to do this box, or, you know, I wouldn't be able to do, clothing, right? I wouldn't be able to do, as much streaming as I wanted to. I can't just take a day off, even though they're pretty lenient about allowing me to go cast events and stuff like that. So yeah, I think it's figure out what your priorities are, right? Like I want to have like the, you know, ambitions to create an empire that I run basically, and and make it with me and all the people that have come here with me. No, I want to make it and take everyone with me. That's what my goal is. But, you know, maybe someone else's goal is to have security and freedom. Maybe they want a family as a goal. Maybe I'll want that at some point. You know, who knows? I don't really see that in my near future, but there's a lot of great things about working full time for a company. Also, I think it's good to get more human interaction. You get to go into work, talk to people, and forcing yourself to do some of that stuff is good too. You know, like some days you don't feel great, but your body likes schedules, right? Your body likes waking up at the same time. Your body likes knowing when you're going to eat. Your body likes knowing when it's work time. It's easier to focus. Your body likes knowing when to sleep. And on freelance, all that stuff, you gotta be a real mature adult. I mean, I'm starting to get there, I would say, definitely. I feel like I do have a lot of control in my life. I can sit down and do work kind of whenever I want to now. But I would be scared for someone else. You know, it's that kind of whole thing where if you were a crazy teenager, you turn into like a really safe adult and you don't want your kids to live the same life as you, because you look back and you think, how did I survive that? And that's how I would feel if somebody else went into kind of like a freelance position like I'm in. Like, ooh, I don't know if you really want to do that. I'd be really worried for you. You got a lot to learn, a lot to learn to teach yourself. And yeah. But yeah, priorities are a big one. And it comes to what you'll be happier doing. What are your priorities? Thank you for the question, Octura. And I'm sorry about the long-winded response, but Pete Hadana. Wait, Canada. Capital C at the end. Canada. Backwards. Pete, what's your opinion about the new G2? This is a purely Counter-Strike related question. The new G2. So the lineup is Existence, Smiths, Shox, Kenny S, and Body. The last G2 is a team I spent the most stickers on in CSGO. This was the team. This was the team that I was vying for since the beginning of CSGO. Like, this is the team I wanted, you know. It had everybody on the same team. They should have been able to get to a major. Win a major. Like, that's... Like, if Envy could win a major, they definitely should have been able to win a major, but they couldn't. A lot of people thought it was because of Shox's calling. I personally was a fan of Shox's calling. Whenever I watched them play, certain things about Shox's calling I actually really liked, but maybe they weren't on the same page. Maybe it was a little too loose. It definitely felt like they had a lot of freedom. I don't know why they used it in the ways they did. Like, I felt like Apex was a little bit too aggressive. I felt like Shox, when he was slumping, was a little bit too aggressive as well. I don't know why there was that much freedom, or why they were taking like so many personal liberties when thinking about what the team's responsibility to win a round was. I definitely feel like you could see why they lost rounds. It was palpable. And for me, it was just like, why aren't those mistakes fixed? But at the end of the day, that's kind of why this shuffle has probably happened. And that's why they've brought in someone who's more of a leader in Existence, a player who I have never, ever seen a lot in, I guess, is the best way to put it. Not because I feel like he works really hard. I feel like he had an amazing career and was an amazing source player. I feel like in CSGO, the style of the game is a little different. I remember I talked to MBK the place I did interviews. I can't even remember. There's so many acronyms. I did an interview with MBK. First round of interviews. That interview where I did with Sempis at the same event. I just can't remember it for some reason. But he told me that he felt like Existence had trouble transitioning his style into CSGO and what CSGO wanted. Too strict. We knew that didn't work. Like, we're seeing that with MSL right now. But there was so much cool shit in there. You were like, wow. If you watch those demos and you're an analyst, you're like, damn, Existence got some cool-ass shit. But it seemed like his style was too stringent. Game moved too fast. It wasn't as willing to be structured like chess as maybe Source was or something. I don't know. now I think after a certain amount of time, I'm totally willing to give him a second chance. Not that my opinion on his like career matters to anybody. I'm not trying to say that, but like I'm happy to root for the team and come in with fresh eyes and see what they can bring to the table. I think the team's going to be awesome. I feel like G2 was, I don't think it was a disappointment. Maybe they didn't achieve what they wanted to. I feel like the bar wasn't set that high, though. I actually think that this new lineup could maybe achieve those similar results. They're definitely going to be motivated to prove it. As for Apex, great player, fantastic player, amazing entry fragger. Was a little bit too reckless, but I think with a player like that, maybe you take the good and the bad. NBK, well-rounded, super smart, probably is going to be a great addition to another team. I think Croman's just moved on to FaZe. Olaf pulled out of FaZe again for some reason, and I'm not sure what happened there, but I'm just, you know, that's, I think it's a personal issue. It seems like it's really serious, and I feel awful about it. Croman's coming in. Croman's super sick, actually, so that could be an interesting thing. I think I'm surprised MBK didn't immediately jump on that. I don't know what happened there. I feel like he'd be a, he would have been a really great fit, but that's all right. It's tougher phase right now. But for the rest of G2, I'm looking forward to watching them play. Gonna study them. I was wondering if there's a, if you guys have any content ideas surrounding that, like, hey, it's a brand new lineup, we could like follow them, you know, could be like have a camera on them basically, or we like watch how they play at each event, try to focus on something like the development of the team. It would be like kind of an investment, like a documentary, right? You hope there's a big payoff at the end, like they win something big, but it might be interesting to follow one team really closely and see if you can see all the changes and stuff from the outside, which is usually really hard to do. When you watch a lot of demos, you pick up on like a couple of cool things that a team does, but I'm sure the players feel like, wow, the analysts don't actually get to see a lot of it, but it's super hard to see from the outside. I mean, and there's so many games and so many different maps and everything that, and so many matchups as well, that like, it's just basically impossible to really understand like what a team's thinking at any given moment. You just have bits and pieces, but following a team closely could be cool. So that might be something. And another content idea, which is kind of a, this is kind of interesting, where Simple is fucking nuts. Like, Simple's fucking nuts. I think my rule for best player was like best player on best team, because it's like who you would consider best player on the best team. And now, you know, for me, that was like, okay, it's Cold Zera. Right now, I don't know. They're in a different, SK are in a different place. They're definitely getting better though. And they look fucking, I reviewed some of their demos. They got some stuff, man. And you watch their ECS, Inferno matches. They are playing some of the sickest Inferno ever. Like their Inferno has improved so much. So I think SK is going to keep going up. I think they've all got the will to win. It's only got stronger with Stewie. They're good. But Simple, so the thing is like, I've always wondered like, I've always said that I feel like it's unfair to a player who is on the best team, who has achieved the best results, to not get best player, because there's so much stuff that we don't know about what goes into a team, right? Like, what if a player is super awful to play with and they ruin your team and that's why you don't go far? Like, that's possible, you know? But it might also be true that that's not true and someone else on the team is actually trash or a bad teammate and that's what's dragging you down. And, you know, with Simple, it's like he's just so damn good. You watch him play, he's just so amazing, and he's just putting it together over and over again, just astounding. He does have an AWP, which is, you know, a bit of a benefit to other guns, but he's also really amazing with it and is very smart in the clutch and super well-rounded apart from that. But AWP helps statistics as well, and also, you know, moments look better with AWPs most of the time, and you're more likely to get more than one kill when you have an AWP and everything. But he's clearly incredible, like incredible. And it feels like it's no coincidence that this is all happening while LeBron is just dragging the Cavs through playoffs right now. But I wonder how much the team has an influence on the player, how much the player's the setup is. There's something weird about how when one player is playing that well, that everyone else just seems to be trash. I don't know why. I don't know. I just don't know why. Maybe you guys have insight on that. You know, the LeBron situation, if there's any real basketball fans out there, is there any chance that the way that the team's set up is just meant to put LeBron up as a star to the point that everyone else can kind of feel lazy? I don't know why that would be the case, considering all professional players know that they have to try hard. But I can only, I've personally had that experience in CSGO where I played with a player who was so good. I felt like, and like, I didn't feel like I had to try that hard. I just felt like I had to support him as best as possible because he had to deliver, and that made me play way worse. Like, even in spots where my job was already easy, I wouldn't complete things because I was just so focused on, like, this is who we have to rely on. And that psychology of just like having someone who's that far ahead of the rest of the people. Is that what's happening on the Cavs? Is that what's happening on Na'Vi? Is it truly just like, I don't know, what is it? You know, what is it with Simple? I wonder. And how do you guys feel about, you know, who to call the best player? Do you think that conversation's stupid? I sometimes do. I'd like to know about your opinion on that, actually, for sure. If you have some real NBA fans or people who have been thinking about Simple in this way. But I had another thing for content was to do Simple highlights, because I feel like I'm so attracted to basketball right now because of what's going on with LeBron and just how amazing he's been playing. And just like, it's made me want to watch the games and the highlights. And I was like on the plane watching the highlights, and I was like, you know what? This would be kind of cool with Simple, where I didn't even get to watch the games from Starladder because it was literally casting DreamHack Denver. And I was like, well, it would be nice if there was some kind of like SportsCenter ESPN type thing where it just showed all the best kills and I kind of talked over them. There wasn't in-depth analysis. There was no pausing, no replaying, no serious editing. Just take the moment, play the clips together, and I kind of talk over them, talk about how awesome they are and just stuff in general, and make it almost log-like, but it's kind of a news slash update type thing and also kind of highlight reel. At the same time, I was wondering if that kind of content would be interesting. And yeah, that might be cool. And I feel like LeBron is doing a lot for basketball right now. I feel like Simple's doing a lot for Counter-Strike right now. So it might be cool to draw off that, I guess, and just bring more attention to the guy who's really making this game like fucking incredible, where people are like, what the fuck is going on? How is he beating and just destroying players who are like getting paid giant salaries, practice day and night, want to win just as much? Like, how is he that far ahead of so many people? It's like, what is going on? It's fucking nuts. Sorry for all the swearing. Continued running. I didn't run this weekend. I was drunk every day until 3 a.m. Loved Austin. Great city. I got a new look at it this time. There's like two streets in Austin. One's called 6th Street, and that's kind of like the younger crowd. It's a little crazy. Go-go dancers, streets closed off. Everyone's just walking across the street. From, I think it's Thursday to Saturday, 6th Street is closed off, so anybody can walk through the middle of the street. So people just go to different clubs and bars, and you can walk through the middle of the street, don't have to worry about cars. It's so sick. Austin's crazy. Like, I love that. And then there's another street called Rainy, which is to be like Queen and King Street in Toronto, where Rainy is a little bit older. Like, the crowd, still pretty much like a giant frat house, but it's got some cool bars. There's one that's like set up like a house party where just AstroTurf outside and you can all sit down. It's like lawn chairs. It's like a giant house party. And then we kept going back there because that was really cool. Got to work with a whole new set of people. Bach. Awesome host. Thought he did a great job. Lerpus. Met Lerpus at DDK's birthday a couple weeks ago. Really cool guy. It's fun to talk to, fun to hang out with. Good on the desk. Is not afraid to give his opinion, just go directly against what someone else says, which is it very important to have on the desk. It's just like, it's not personal. It's just like, this is how I see it. This is how I see it. And you get like, you know, each person's opinion. I feel like on the desk it could be a little bit too nice sometimes, so that's cool. Hazed looked better than ever. The fucking hair was incredible. And it was a really fun atmosphere. And Hazed has like this fun aura where he just makes he makes it just more fun to hang out. So that's cool. It's cool to have a person like that in the green room, especially when it's like a bunch of analytical types. You know, you need the play-by-plays and just the, those personalities to even out the more dry analytical type people, I guess. And that makes the green rooms cool. And a happy green room is important. Happy green room, good event, you know? And shout out to Mia, the best talent manager. I love Mia. She's bringing us coffee and Band-Aids and everything. I need Band-Aids because I bought 3 new pairs of shoes. And they fucking hurt my feet because I didn't break them in. Taking a step on my heel, made a dig into my heel. My heel is literally bleeding right now. Just shaved off, just a whole layer of skin on the back of my heel. And got blisters on the front of my feet, both my shoes. On the last day, I picked the most uncomfortable shoes to wear on the last day because they looked the best with the best clothes I had. I had to just pick up the shoes and walk to the hotel with my socks out in the street. Thankfully, it was nice out. And it's kind of nice to do that too. Walk around without socks or shoes on. But destroyed my feet. And yeah, we've kind of bled into DreamHack Austin. I just wanted to do a running update or a health update, but Austin was fun. The sad part was the stream. We had Star Ladder going on at the same time, so a lot of the games had overlap, so there was not a lot of attention. But what can you do, man? DreamHack announces their events way early, you know, and it's just like, boom, Star Ladder pops up. That happens, and that's happening way too much, and it's just got to stop. But yeah, I would have liked to had a couple better teams there, to be honest, like Liquid, Cloud9, or something, just for more attention. And I kind of wanted like a stronger final, like a bigger potential upset in the final. Like if Space Soldiers went again up against Liquid, it's like if they beat Liquid, it would have been way more of a legitimate result. But it's still great, and congratulations to Space Soldiers. It's a hard-fought victory, and a lot of people had to come in, had their flights canceled and shit. Someone from, I think it was Engine from Space Soldiers, got to Houston, didn't sleep for 20 hours, and then had to Uber from Houston to Austin, and then got in, and then had to play. So they had an awful first day, and they still pulled it together and got better every day. Major was very impressive, all event. Xantaris was Xantaris. Lantaris. I think my casting, I think I made strides. I mean, I think I was good, almost just as happy with my Denver casting, if anybody saw that. I think I went even harder in spots. I think I had a couple of awkward moments. But that's just because of a little bit of rust. Like, next time around, I'm going to be even better. I'm feeling great about casting. And I'm going to continue to read and continue to exercise, get my energy up, keep going. I'm ready to fucking go head on, dude. This event was just one, like, step one, you know? Like, I have so much more that I'm looking forward to that I just want to get, like, tackle head on in terms of casting. And I know I can just go even harder. Like, I have so much more we can do. But Blue was awesome, great as usual, just gives me space, play-by-play, never complains about anything, it's easy to talk to, love that kid. And also he got a job with, he's really good on the variety side of things, because he's just a strong play-by-play, so he got, I think he's with CSA now, which is an agency, and they're giving him a lot of different work and different things. He's working at E3 on some VR thing and doing all other, he's like doing up to, he's doing 6 games right now or something like that. So that's awesome for him. I'm really happy. He's like the perfect guy to do that. I'm more of a specialist, I suppose. But yeah, that was the event. It's great. I felt great about it. I don't know if you guys got to watch it. There was 20,000 people. I was thinking about the fact that 20,000 people, I don't care how small of a number that is in the grand scale of CSGO events or whatever, or esports events or streams, that's 20,000 people, you know, 20,000 people. I just kept thinking about that. got me fucking hyped up. So I brought it every sentence, even if some things I fucked up on, just moved on. Brought it again, next sentence, got the rust off within a couple rounds. I was good to go. It was fun. I enjoyed it. Continued running. Yeah, so I was supposed to run every day of the weekend, but I decided to get drunk every day until 3 a.m. and then wake up and then cast. And I felt like hanging out with people was actually just going to keep me warmed up and energized. I actually feel great on hangover days, like talking. I can feel very clear-headed. I come up with some of my best tweets when I'm hungover. So I was like, you know what, fucking let's just go hard every day. Let's just go hard every day. But I wasn't about to go running. And also the shoes were fucking my feet up every day. And then yesterday when I got back, I was surprised at myself because my feet were straight up bleeding. And I was like, you know what, I want to run to Whole Foods. So I did a jog today, did another run, found Band-Aids, thankfully, in my room. That was super clutch. But yeah, went for a full-on jog. I think I actually beat... I was running a little bit slower, but in terms of distance, I beat what I've set out to accomplish around the block, which is a little over a half mile. It's not much, but I've only been doing it for a week and a half or so. So just slowly getting there. And it's giving me energy. It's opening up my lungs. I feel awesome about it. Wish I started earlier because I live in a great area to do this with. That's always a nice temperature. Take advantage of that stuff, for sure. But yeah, I think we're bleeding into 40 minutes now. Shout out to DreamHack for this. If you guys are going to be at E3, this is a super well-constructed hoodie. The seams are nice. This is some of the best event or team or whatever merchandise, quality-wise, I have ever had the construction on this thing. Leave the DreamHack, the sickest fucking logo. And shout out to Mark Winter, too. Fucking love him. He's giving me so many opportunities to cast events. And now that I've started to do more like exercising and stuff, I feel like I can like actually talk about things. Because he actually is, I think he's doing like half Ironman or something coming up. He's always like cycling and running and stuff. So it's like now we can like connect as homies. Finally, on the health tip, good ass clothes. Great fucking logo. And thank God we have an event like this that has every game and all the talent and different fans in a convention that people can all come together in. And I can meet all these people from different games that I know about or have met before. We can all get drunk together, hang out, talk, and it's such a good time. Had my brother Michael and his kids, which is technically a foster brother, but he's family to me, come out to the event, got to hang out. I love that they can come through because they all play games and stuff like that, and they got to walk around DreamHack and see things, and that was awesome. And that's another reason I like going to Austin, because that's close to where he lives. Before we end this green card situation, all right, you guys are actually the first to know about this. I think I have to tell people before the video comes out, but got this letter, and it's like, basically, I can't go into details, but I know I've been talking about this for a while, but this is one of three things that could have happened. One is rejection, one is acceptance, and this is the third one, which is a request for more evidence. So they basically went over my case, and we had to rush the application at the time of doing it because of my situation with Yahoo and how that was all like coming together. Like all of a sudden, I didn't have any idea how long I had. And so they're requesting for more evidence to strengthen my case, but I have not got my work permit. And if I had my work permit right now, I'd just be like, all right, I'm going to request for evidence and I'll build up the case again, send it in and extend this. But I need to know that I can travel very soon. So I actually found out that remember how I thought like that USPS lost my work permit back in December. Well, it turns out that my lawyer did like a investigation with USPS, and they never even received the work permit. So I never even had a chance to get it, and the tracking number that came out was there, and it said marked as delivered and all this stuff, but it never apparently was even sent. So I don't know how, but somehow it makes me feel better to know that there was absolutely no chance that I could have even gotten when I was just like literally losing my hair, trying to figure out who was responsible and if it was my fault and how do I fix it and where do I go and like dealing with all these calling people. And oh man, it was a really awful experience. But I just hope that maybe they'll be able to get me one now, like soon. So it's craziness, but yeah, basically that's where I'm at right now. So hopefully I can get my work permit soon that I applied for already, which should be just like the first one, and then I can just request for more evidence. And then it doesn't matter that I'm in the application process. If I have my work permit, I can travel. I actually had to pull out of Face It because I was getting, I had a really bad night where I was just getting too like worried and stuff. And I had to pull out of Face It Finals, which I didn't want to do, but I really couldn't. Like, I was told myself, I was like, this is, I need to think about my health, right? I need to think about my health. And I guess I couldn't have, my body was just could not have that much uncertainty in my life. So I had to pull out, unfortunately, even though I said I was basically going to move if I couldn't get there. It was just too much to handle. And I think, you know, listening to your body and respecting your health and stuff is very, very important. And there's no real way around it. So, but we move on. We move on and forward. And yes, I will come back next week. Actually, no, this is going to be a short week because this is already going to go up on Wednesday. But yeah, I'll see you guys on Monday. Hope you enjoyed this one. I think speaking-wise, this was a little bit bumpy. It's going back and forth. And that's, I think this could have been probably 40 minutes, but it's 47 now. Sorry about that. Part of the reason we do this vlog is so I can improve that portion of... I already lost the word. See, I can't even speak English today. And that's weird. That's weird. Some days English is easy. Some days English is hard. And I'm hoping that being healthy and running and stuff like that will all help with the consistency in that regard. But that's a weird one too. How some days English makes sense and some days it doesn't make any sense. Anyways, that's the end of the vlog. No sponsors, store.boxer.gg. Looking forward to your responses on some of the stuff I asked in the vlog, as well as that's it. Yeah, everything I said. Looking forward to the responses, and thanks for watching this. I enjoy doing these. I hope you enjoy watching them. Take care, everybody.